Hey guys, welcome back to Generation Wealth, your podcast for all things building wealth. From businesses to real estate investing, we are breaking it down every single week. The things that will build wealth in your family, not just now, but for generation and years to come. Okay, so today I wanted to talk to our Self-Made Summit grant winner. If you guys weren't at the Self-Made Summit or you didn't attend online, you probably have no clue what I'm talking about, which is okay. But we actually had an event in November where we basically did my book launch and this incredible event that all talked about businesses and wealth in Scottsdale, Arizona. Myself and a few other women created the investors, and we chose a few business owners to come on stage and join us to do a live pitch party. So think like Shark Tank meets Selling Sunset. That's kind of what we did at this event. And so we had five entrepreneurs come up and tell us why they were worth a $10,000 grant into their business. So today on the podcast, we're actually talking to the winner. She is the founder of the I Kicked Sugar program. And here's how this goes. Like, you might be thinking, like, what does that have to do with wealth? But as you know, health really ties into our ability to be focused on business and on investing and on creating wealth. So I think that it's truly important to understand. And as somebody who is not a huge fan of sugar and what's in our food system, I think that this is a really great conversation of how Joyce kicked sugar 6 years ago and how this set her on a path to help others who suffer from sugar addiction and how to drop the shame and the embarrassment and to really get healthy and focus on wellness once and for all. So let's dive into this mini episode. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Generation Wealth. And we have a very special guest today because if you guys were at the Self-Made Summit in November, you were there when we did our first investors pitch party. And as you know, it takes so long to wrap all of these things for events, if you guys have done events, but we actually have our grant winner, who is the founder of I Kicked Sugar. And I already told her, I'm not going to try to say her last name, but I'd like to welcome Joyce to the podcast.
Thank you, Candy. I am so excited to be here.
So glad to have you.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Of course. Yeah. And so if you were at Self-Made Summit, you'll see that we actually did an investor pitch party where we chose, I actually didn't, the other investors chose five people of all the submissions to come on stage and pitch what their business is and what they would use the money for. And the investors, again, not without me because I was running an event, chose that Joyce would be the best person because we felt you already had your primary business model intact. You already kind of knew what avatar you wanted for that product.
Yes.
And we felt by just giving you the grant money, you would be able to gather more leads and have a greater return on our money than maybe some of the other people that weren't quite there yet.
Right.
So just congratulations again on winning.
Thank you.
It's obviously a big deal. You saw there was a lot of great people that had great businesses. And if you guys weren't there, they literally had to come up and pitch live on stage
with hundreds
of people watching and thousands at home. And
it was scary.
Brought the energy. Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, we could see people shaking, their hands shaking.
I think that was me. I was afraid when I was going to hand you back the microphone, it was going to slip out of your hand. It was so wet from sweat.
But you did a great job. And we really loved what you do. And that's why I wanted to just kind of bring you on too, to have more people exposed to what it is that you do. Because as somebody who believes that, you know, health is an incredible, huge part of building wealth and having success. So I think the saying is, you know, a person that has great health has many desires, but a person with bad health has one desire, and that's to be healthy. So I think there's a lot of connection with health and wealth. And
totally.
I think that one of the things that's truly ruining humans and disease and just kind of like running rampant in our systems and not realizing it is refined sugars.
Yes.
And you created something, obviously, through your experience of wanting to kick sugar, which is why it's called I Kicked Sugar. And you're helping many, many women and other people get free of that addiction. Because truly, that's what it is.
It rewires
our brain. So can you share a little bit about who you were before you kicked sugar and what put you on the path to figure out how to actually get rid of it for all?
Yeah, definitely. I struggled my entire life with sugar. I mean, from early childhood.
Did you have a weight issue?
I didn't struggle as much with weight until I was older.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't notice it when I was younger. But boy, did I eat a lot of sugar. That's all I craved, and very different from my sister, who actually ended up being in her early 20s a type 1 diabetic.
Oh, wow.
She did not have the sugar cravings like I had.
Wow.
For example, I would beg my mom to always every week go food shopping with her because I wanted to make sure that something, you know, sugary got in that shopping cart. And I was that kid making a stink at the store, like kicking and screaming on the floor saying, "You've got to get me, you know, these Cheerios, these Apple Jacks, you know, Hawaiian Punch, you know, Ringdings, whatever it was."
Yeah.
I needed something. And, you know, just to shut me up, she was so embarrassed, she would buy it for me. But she really was pretty much a healthy mom, as healthy as she knew she could be. We did have vegetables at every meal. She wanted to try and stay away from soda, even though I begged for the soda. She didn't like white bread. She wanted wheat bread. And I wanted the Wonder white bread. That was another item that made it into the shopping cart from all of my kicking and screaming. So it was very different. And I can look back, all of my childhood and adult memories revolve around sugar.
Hmm.
You know, it isn't like when I think about Disneyland, our yearly trips to Disneyland, it isn't that, oh my gosh, Space Mountain. The first thought in my head is, oh my gosh, you know, Main Street, the candy store, the fudge, you know, fudge from there, the root beer stick, you know, candy canes, just it was always Mickey Mouse, ice cream ears, you name it. Every holiday, you know, every celebration revolved around sugar through my entire life.
Where do you think that stemmed from? Did you ever like look back and do the work to see where that came from?
Yeah. Well, there definitely is. There is, you know, you are born with a sugar sensitivity.
Okay.
So, you know, you can have a spectrum. So when I look at my son now, who's 17, he could care less about sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never understood it. I cared more about trick-or-treating for him from the age of 1 to 5 than, you know, than he did. You know, and I'm the one who ate his candy, you know, not him. So very different. So there is something called sugar sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are definitely genetically more predisposed to having that addiction and signals. But, you know, right now we are living in such a society where sugar is rampant in everything. Over 80% of supermarket products are laden with sugar. That wasn't there 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you can very easily connect and see the graphs when you look at the charts from right now. We're suffering with an obesity and type 2 diabetes epidemic here in America. And it is correlated and connected to sugar and the sugar industry's push of sugar in everything over the last 50 years. So it's really about, you know, learning to read labels, understanding, you know, that what is it that you're eating? You know, it wasn't that 50 years ago sugar was necessarily even so bad, but the way manufacturers have manipulated sugar, right, the processing is what it really is. And it is boiled down to now this chemical, there's over 61 different names of sugar. So, you know, you don't even know what to look for when you're looking at a label. They're trying to trick and disguise it inside the ingredients. And, you know, there could be 5 different sugars and you don't know it and you don't even realize it.
And I think this is so important because I, you know, I have forever been on a journey to be healthy.
Yeah.
Like, from my early 20s, but my dear, very much like yours, but in a complete reverse. My parents were teenagers. I grew up in a trailer on government assistance. So my mom didn't really know about food. Like she was 16, 19. Like, what do we really know when we're that age, right?
Yeah.
So I grew up pizza, Diet Pepsi every morning. Like,
wow.
Talk not only sugar, but now we've got aspartame.
Right.
Right. Ho-hos after school. I would get dropped off in my dad's garage. So I was having Reese cups. Like, this was the four, right? This was the, and for most kids, this was like a dream.
Right.
But what I didn't realize was how unhealthy I was eating until I was in my 20s and being exposed to like all of the stuff that really makes us sick.
Yes.
And I watched my grandmother die young. I watched my grandfather. So I saw a lot of people die young, and I started really obsessing about how do we eat better to live more?
Yeah.
And so I'm from this frame of mind now that it's food. Food is truly fuel.
It is.
It's either going to make you healthier or make you sick. And we either take the time to learn what you're talking about now, or we've got to take the time later in order to get healthy.
Yes.
And so I think it's really important. I also think that the U.S., what we're doing in food compared to Europe and all these other countries is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like ketchup. Ketchup, right?
Yes.
Like when I was in England, I was like, how are all these people drinking beer and eating fish and chips and they still look skinny, and yet over here, what's in their food?
Yes.
It's so different.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about, because I know people hear sugar, and not everybody knows this, but there are different types of sugar.
Yeah.
Not to say any of them are healthy, but there are healthier types. Can you give us maybe just a couple quick tips of what someone could do now to maybe start to shift to maybe get away from those cravings?
Yeah, definitely. So what I'm talking about when I say I kick sugar, first of all, I kicked the addiction. You know, people are like, oh, you must live such a deprived life. You're such a militant eater now. And no, I live in abundance now, you know, with it. Fruit, first of all, is a naturally occurring sugar. So fruit, when eaten whole, okay, not to be mistaken with having fruit juice like apple juice or orange juice, but fruit whole is packed with vitamins, minerals, you know, water, and all these nutrients in there. So it's fantastic. And it will fill you up one apple. You know, you don't have to have five apples in a juice, you know, to get the same right with double, you know, the sugar content.
It's so different, guys. Like so different eating an apple and having apple juice.
Yes.
The way, can you tell us why, what our body does with apple juice as opposed to eating an apple?
Yeah. So, well, apple juice, to make that same cup, like that cup of apple juice, you've got to extract the sugar of about, you know, I'm not completely accurate on the dimensions here, but five apples, okay? So you are getting like triple amount. One glass of apple juice could have, you know, 30 grams of sugar in it versus then, you know, having just the apple and you're stripping away, you're just taking out the sugar. So you might as well just be injecting it, you know, right, exactly, into your arm. It's just going straight into your bloodstream, that sugar, versus eating that whole apple, you're getting a fraction of the amount of sugar. And like you said, it's packed with fiber to slow down that sugar, that glucose going into your body. So it's a slow absorption, and you've got the minerals and you've got the vitamins in there and you've got the water. So you're getting full from that apple, where the orange juice or the apple juice, you're just slugging it down. So you're getting a high concentration of sugar. So stay away. Don't feed it to your kids. And those little juice boxes are horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Oh, and we're even talking about assuming that it's healthy.
Right.
Orange juice or apple juice, but there's so many that are from concentrate.
Yes.
Like, did you see the Simple Orange thing that was just on the news recently?
No.
Oh my gosh. So they were Simple Orange. Anyone that drinks Simply Orange is, I think, what it's called. Yes, Simply Orange.
Okay.
Sean's nodding his head. We want to, you know which one I'm talking about, right?
I do.
Can you pull it up? So Sean's going to pull it up. So I think there was 60, because I don't want to quote it wrong. I believe there were 60 different chemicals.
Oh yes,
in Simply Orange, and we'll make sure to fact checked everything we talk about on the show. So but it's like people don't realize, they think shiny marketing, and it does. It has a beautiful box.
Right,
it's like a beautiful
plastic
container.
It's all in the branding.
Oh my gosh, and it's like it's making us, not only the sugar, but all of the chemicals that they're putting in it is really making it so unhealthy. Here
Simply
we go.
Tropical.
Simply Tropical Orange Juice.
It has high toxic.
What even is that? PFHS. What? Eight?
The rule I teach my ladies in my course is, if you don't know what the ingredient is and you can't pronounce it, don't eat it.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, and limit that label to about six ingredients. You know, and you've got a label list, an ingredient list that's long, you know, 40 ingredients. That's danger right there.
Yeah.
That should be stay away for sure.
So I know people are listening and they're going to say, this all sounds great in context, but like I have kids, I have a business, I'm busy. How can I implement this in my life day to day?
Yeah. So it's a process for sure, you know, and it starts by making a decision. So you asked me earlier how I then kick sugar. And the biggest thing was, you know, I was at my bottom of, you know, my lowest low, that bathroom story, you know, where you're on the floor and you're just praying to God, you know, just please, if I can just quick hit sugar.
Was it you were feeling a certain way
constantly.
What caused you to go on the bathroom floor?
Yeah. So I had and it was actually the kitchen floor.
Okay.
But I've heard a lot of
Let's paint the picture.
I think Eat, Pray, Love was the bathroom floor. But no, like I suffered tremendously with weight. At one point I was 186 pounds overweight. You know, that's 67 pounds overweight for, I'm a small frame, you know, I shouldn't be 186 pounds. That's a lot. I suffered with fatty liver, non-alcoholic fatty liver, which is huge right now. Even in kids that are 5-8 years old are getting this. This is wrong. This didn't even happen, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. This wasn't diagnosed. I suffered with massive depression and anxiety, chronic yeast infections and sinus infections, all due to sugar, you know, and so that that was the main culprit, you know, was the food that I was eating, but the sugar that was there. And I had tried many times quitting, and every time, you know, I did it with just willpower. And, you know, after a week, 2 weeks, I caved and I went back to something. You know, I had a craving. I couldn't control it anymore. My willpower just wore out. And bottom line is you can't do it with willpower. Willpower and diets don't work. Neither one of them work. And so you have to make a decision. And that's really the secret to this and what I teach in the course. And so when I got to that lowest of low points and I was talking to myself and journaling a lot saying, you know, like, no, this time it's going to be different. I'm going to do it. No, I really can't do it. And this voice came through me and said, you can do it. And you did it years ago. And you did it with choosing to go vegetarian. So I've been plant-based vegetarian for over 30 years. Yes, we have something in common. I actually used to work for PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
I did not know that.
Oh, yes, huge animal rights activist. And that is why I became, you know, plant-based and vegetarian. For four of those years, I was vegan. Right now, I mean, I hate to say I've labeled myself and put myself in so many boxes through the years. That's one thing now at 52 I've learned not to do. I love just saying I'm predominantly plant-based.
Yeah.
That doesn't say, you know, allows me then if I want occasionally, if I'm out, I have maybe a piece of salmon. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will have eggs. I do like a lot of egg whites. I'll have a little bit of hard cheese. And then I go through months where I don't have any of that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so what am I? I don't know. You don't have to put a label on it.
Yep.
Just eat healthy, real whole food, predominantly plant-based. I mean, the science and the evidence is there. Plant-based, staying away from animal products is healthier. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I did it, though. I chose to do that for ethical reasons. Back in my 20s, I could care less about my health, you know, and I ate sugar. I was an unhealthy vegan, you know.
Oh, so many of those.
So many. I had soda.
Gosh.
I had Doritos. You know, I went to McDonald's and I ordered a hamburger without the burger.
Yeah.
They're like, what's that, you know?
Oh, my God.
White
back
bread.
In the day,
I used
to have – so there was this place. Anyone that's from the East Coast, there's a – it's like a big – gas station, but they started making food. And they're actually infamous. I actually love this company because it's created by a family. It's privately owned, the Sheetz family.
Okay.
So like Sheetz on a bed, but they have a Z on the end of their name. And they created the MTO, made to order.
Okay.
And it was kind of before the Subway craze and everybody where you could walk in and make a Pennsylvania calls them hoagies, like a sub, like a sandwich, a sub sandwich. You know what I mean, Sean? And so, but they started with hot dogs in this college town. We're really going on a tangent here, but I love this company story too. They started where there was demand in a college town, and they sold two hot dogs for a dollar. But then they didn't make any money. They lost money, but they knew if they can get the college kids in there, they would buy pop and soda and all this other stuff, right? Chips. So when I started, there was one in my town where I started my first business. And one of my employees would go over and she'd be like, do you want anything from Sheetz? And it was always a joke because everyone knew that this was my order. I want two hot dogs with sauerkraut and ketchup, but no hot dog. So I would have the hot dog bun, sauerkraut, and ketchup. So you just took me a flashback to like 25 years ago when I would order those. And that, talk about garbage.
Yes.
We were eating white processed bread with a little bit of sauerkraut, which is actually good.
Exactly.
But then the sugar-laden ketchup.
Yes.
So back to the question, how do people do this at home? And I love what you said, you got to decide.
Yeah.
Because I always say, business, anything you want to do, we can motivate you. You can get all the inspiration in the world.
Yes.
But if you don't decide, if you don't take the idea and decide to apply it in your life, your life will never be different or changed from this podcast, this conversation, or anything else that you hear. So first, it's a decision, almost like addiction, right? When you're addicted to alcohol or drugs or sex or anything else that people are addicted to, they first make a decision, no more. So let's say someone's listening and they're like, okay, I need to take the first steps towards this. What are their next moves?
Yeah. So after they make a decision, right, which is then to cut off all other choices, which is very freeing, you know, right there you will find and step into food freedom. And to make that decision, it has to come from a place of integrity and authenticity. You have to have a purpose and a reason, a foundation. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to do it. You know, it shouldn't be that I can't eat sugar, I shouldn't eat sugar. That's what we do when we're on a diet. You know, it comes to the place where I don't eat sugar. So you are the one now who is empowered by making that decision yourself. It's not being put on you for any reason. So therefore—
hang on. I got to stop you there because that's a good change.
Yeah.
This is why when we say things to our mind, the words that we say are so important.
Powerful.
I don't drink. It's not that I can't drink.
Exactly.
I don't drink. And there are times that I do drink, but right. most of the time, like you're saying, yes. I don't drink.
Same here.
When you say you can't, that restriction in our mind, we already then want to.
Oh, you just keep obsessing over it. Right. You can't stop. I mean, you tell the little kid, don't touch the hot stove. You can't touch it. Let me but what do you do?
You're going to touch it. Yeah.
You know, don't go into the liquor cabinet, you know, to the teenagers and they're
don't,
going into the liquor.
Don't date that guy. Right, and know? Then everybody wants to date
right.
him.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right.
So I think that's important, right? It's like, I want to be healthy.
Huge distinction.
So I am not going to eat sugar.
Exactly. It has to come from that place of power. And I really show this by letting women know, people know in the course that they do this all the time. They don't even realize that they already hold this power. Like so many, you know, observe Lent for religious purposes. Yeah. And they're making that choice. You have to have a purpose, a why behind also your decision. And so for me, when I decided that I don't eat meat, you know, over 30 years ago, it was a decision I have never looked back. I have never had a piece of red meat since that. It has never even been a challenge in my mind.
Right.
And so I was able to make that correlation and see that I have done that already. You know, there are plenty of areas in your life where you've done that. And it's like because you had a purpose, you know, and a belief system and a philosophy behind your reasoning and your decision to empower you forward and propel you forward. So once you make that, then everything else is really easy. Then it's about shopping the perimeter. It's learning to start bringing in real whole food and to start changing those, you know, unhealthy habits to healthy habits. And like you said, I mean, the key thing here is mindset, because any addiction, you know, revolves around two things to solve. And one is mental, the mental side and the physical side. So the physical side of addiction is very real. Like we talked about that there is a sugar sensitivity there, alcoholism, you name it. That's real, you know, when you are hooked on drugs or cocaine. I'm not going to deny that. But people get past that. You know, once the detox, as hard as it is, you can get past that. But if you never resolve, you know, the mental side of it, why you are turning to that drug, or in this case, sugar, your choice of drug, you know, why you are coming to that for comfort, you will not resolve. And so that's also what we work on in the course, is getting to your why, like why you're turning to that. And so much of that is conditioning from our upbringing, you know, from our childhood. You 2 years old, you fall down, you scrape your knee, and your mom comes over, she gives you a warm hug, and she gives you a chocolate chip cookie that came into the oven. And now you make that association to your mother's love. Yes, exactly. To the cookie.
Yeah.
You always, so you're now home, you're 40 years old, you had a bad day at work, and you just wish your mom was hugging you, and you think, I'm gonna make some cookies, and you want those cookies, you know? And like we talked about at the beginning, you mentioned everywhere with bombardment from, you know, advertisers, they're so great at getting you tricked and fooled on that packaging and their commercials, and they will tap in with their commercials, you know, an emotion to that food.
Oh, the picture.
Oh my gosh.
Right? The sitting in front of the fire or watching the Super Bowl, whatever it may be.
Exactly. I saw one Oreo commercial for, you know, going off to college, you know, and all about, you know, gender specific and, you know, oh, if you love, you know, your child and you'll embrace your child no matter who they are by giving them an Oreo and you can have that tough conversation because Oreos, you're sharing an Oreo cookie. I mean, it's they getting you everywhere. So it's understanding, bringing awareness is, you know, the second step to, you know, being able to get past this and to change your lifestyle. Without awareness, nothing can happen. You will continue to live in autopilot and just go through your life responding instead of reacting. And mindset is crucial. You know, what we say to ourselves, our language creates our reality. So it's like we have to choose wisely what we are saying. If we keep saying, oh, it's so hard to kick sugar, I can't do this, you're just going to keep reinforcing that. You've got to create that new identity of a healthy person, a healthy woman who wants to and can kick sugar, maybe even before you have done it, so that you start to believe it and start incorporating that into your life.
It's so important. So one thing to remind everyone that if you haven't really identified, I say this about money, but it comes, it's the exact same thing about our food and what we put in our bodies. What you believe has typically been caught by someone else in your life.
Yes.
Right? Like if you haven't actually done the work to see, wait a minute, how do I want to show up?
Right.
Like, is this really making me sick? Like all the data supports that even if I continue down this path, that it's not going to be something good. So is eating this thing getting me closer to how I want to show up in life or further away?
Yes.
Right? And then it's just making the conscious choice. Like don't judge it. Don't have guilt or shame around it. just choose what's going to get you closer to the identity of who you want to be.
Yes.
Like for me, when I really chose to, I don't want to eat that lifestyle. I don't want that lifestyle. Like all the information is there to support that it's not healthy.
Correct.
Right? So it's like, okay, it's just part of my identity. It's like, I think any parent listening, like you just choose, like you either spank your kids or you don't. It doesn't mean that you don't want to spank them sometimes, even if you don't, but it's a choice that you make, and that's who the identity is of that person in the moment. What is your identity about the food you put in your body? Like you, I've been plant-based for 25 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't even think about it. Like, that's not an option.
Exactly.
Like, to then go back, because it's just, it's not that I judge other people who do it. Right. It's just not an option for me.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
So same thing with sodas and aspartame.
Smoking.
And
I never
smoking.
Was a smoker.
Right.
I mean, I point that out to women all the time, you know, who, right, are like, oh, I would never smoke. That's disgusting. Why? Why is it different for the person who is, you know, an addicted smoker?
Yeah.
It's like, you made that choice. You
that's
made
right.
that distinction, and it's, you don't think twice about it. So it's proof you can do it. It's all in our mind and how, you know, we are viewing, you know, sugar or food in that matter. I love in your book, also, I mean, every time I kept reading it, it's like, I just wanted to change the words wealth to health.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's so related.
It is so related.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, that it's like, it when you're trying to learn, you know, money management mm-hmm. and to create wealth, monetary wealth in your life, it's the same way with the health in your life, having that abundance of health and wealth with health is that, you know, it's – and it, people who are extremely sick right now, just like how you talk about with money, you had bad habits, mm-hmm. you know, with your money and, you know, you're in a lot of debt. It's like, so you've got a lot of weight on your body or you've got a lot of medications. You can change that, but you can't do it overnight.
That's right.
You know, it's like there's no quick rich scheme and there's no, you know, like quick diet that all,
that's
you know,
right.
miracle diet that it's going to happen. It takes time and it takes self-discipline, which is very empowering.
Yes.
I also really teach how positive self-discipline is. And so many people misconstrue that word and think that there's somehow that it's negative, like somehow I'm being disciplined or punished. And the words are very different. You know, when you look up the definition of self-discipline, it is to, you know, be able to hold power over yourself and to act out with the intentions that you set forth that you want, that you believe in, you know, without like faltering. I mean, and owning your power, that's powerful.
Like, think of that. Like, I know to me, that's where I get probably the most – that's something I take pride in. That
yes.
I'm super self-disciplined and I've been forever. And I think that rather than it being a bad thing or a restriction, it's like it shows you who you really are. And for me, like when I would be around other people that were indulging in all, it's almost like – it challenged me a little more, mm-hmm. which made me a little more proud when I didn't do it.
Right.
So rather than thinking like, well, everybody else is doing, what if you just flipped the script and you chose differently and then other people were inspired by what you do
yes.
and how you show up.
Yes.
And so I love this conversation. I think it's really ties to, you know, what our health is really relates to our bank account. Like
mm-hmm.
actually the last podcast interview we were just doing, we were talking about multi-millionaires that are completely out of shape.
Mm.
You know, they have the Rolex, but they have like a big roly-bully belly at the, you know, at the pool
right.
and all of that stuff. And it's like, what if we focused on both?
Yes.
Like, what if we didn't just go all in on one obsession and we really tried to be more well-rounded where we focused on building wealth and building relationships
yes.
and building our health and just being an overall better person? Because I think where people get tripped up in life and when they start to make bad decisions is when they go all in on one thing.
Correct. Yeah,
and
I agree.
They, you know, neglect all of the other things in their life.
Yes.
So I love this conversation. I love what you're doing. I'm obviously super glad that you were the one that was selected for the grant.
Me
and
too.
And please let everyone know. I mean, now you're going to you have more money to even do more things. So let them know. How can they at least continue this conversation? Do you have something that they can maybe start, find out more information on what's next? I know you have an ebook that gives a lot of great information.
Yes.
So tell us where they can find it.
Yeah. I have a free Sugar Sleuth toolkit. It's a great way to get started with me. And I'll give you the link so then people can just enter their email. We'll send it right to their inbox. And it teaches them all about how to read sugar, you know, labels, where sugar is lurking. I mean, they're going to be shocked at some of the stuff that I show home, particularly in beverages.
Yeah.
You know, if they just cut out that one thing, beverages, you know, from the soda to the Starbucks to the Dunkin' Donuts.
I mean, there
are some drinks out there that have, I mean, just one drink, a Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks drinks, has 186 grams of sugar in one.
186?
186 wow. in one drink. Now, be it, it's the large, but I see still. Plenty of people walking out of there with that large drink.
It's, well, and there's another little thing that's hidden in there. Even when you get almond milk,
yeah,
their almond milk has sugar in it.
I know.
So it's lurking. Spaghetti sauce. Like it's in so many things. And it just racks up those calories. And then I think people get frustrated because they're trying to be healthier. They're walking more. They're doing. And it's like, why can I not kick this?
Yes.
And it's because of all these little sneaky things that they do to us. So anyone that drinks Starbucks, just remember all of their milks are sweetened.
They are. Yeah. I mean, I drink almond milk, but I buy it, you know, at home from the grocery store for myself that has, you know, zero sugar in it.
Yeah.
So it's possible. You just get unsweetened vanilla.
And it doesn't taste any different.
Throw
a stevia in there. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm a stevia person.
Nope, stevia is fine. So, pure monk fruit is fine. Definitely. Unrefined sugars, you know, are fine. No, if you say you're never going to have another cookie again, you're just setting yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the diet mentality, the all, you know, or nothing mindset that gets us in that blame and shame cycle. So it's like learn to cook and bake for yourself. You know, bake yourself then a healthy alternative. I can bake a banana bread that has, you know, one tablespoon of honey in the whole banana bread that's sweetened with the bananas and the tablespoon of honey. And that's plenty. And it's delicious, you know.
Yeah.
So there are alternatives. So the Sugar Sleuth Toolkit that, you know, your listeners can grab will talk about all of that. It will also give the 61 different names of sugar. And then it will also give them the opportunity if they want to get the audiobook. I have an audiobook that's available for just $5. So it gives them a chance to learn more about me in the course. Yeah.
Awesome. And if they want to find you online, is there a website?
Yes. iKickedSugar.com.
Great name.
iKickedSugar.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll link all the information up on the show notes, guys, so you know where to go. And of course, as we say, the way you treat your body, your health, your mindset, all of that links to your bank account, your net worth. So go follow Joyce, get all the information. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
me. We can't
me,
wait
Candy.
To see what you do with this
Woo!
Money.
Me too.
All right. Till next time, guys, keep investing and keep building that wealth. See you soon.